Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining us, Homeschool Companion. And we're going through the devotional windows on God's world. Today, our title is The Spider That Got Drunk. And our scripture is Proverbs 21. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Not long ago, a young scientist won first prize in a high school science fair with an exhibit of her experiments with spiders and their webs. Her project involved a comparison between webs spun by normal spiders and those spun by spiders under the influence of alcohol. At first, the girl collected a number of common house spiders for experiment, but she had difficulty with them. When she injected the wine directly into them, they all dropped dead. Then she adopted the plan of feeding wine-injected flies to the spiders. The spiders did not die, but they did not spin webs either. Somewhat discouraged, she took her problem to her teacher and learned that house spiders are not much for making webs. They simply make strands of silk that are strung in all directions with no particular pattern. She was advised to find some of the common garden species, long known for their talent for constructing beautiful orb webs. Thus encouraged, the girl again got busy with her project. She found a number of garden spiders and fed them wine-injected flies. This time, her efforts were rewarded. The drunken spiders began to spin all sorts of wild and unorganized webs that did not at all resemble the intricate and near-perfect designs they were able to spin under normal circumstances. After eating the spiked flies, a spider would begin spinning frantically, totally without method or reason, and the tipsy creature would keep on spinning without stopping until it passed out cold. The master weaver was confused at its ancient art. It and its web reminded one of the autumn familiar morning after the night before events. Each of us is weaving a pattern of life, and we need all our abilities under control to do it properly. We will not be able to do this if we take into our bodies alcohol or any other substance that wrongly affects us in any way. Whosoever is deceived by those substances is not wise. Oh, I pray so much for our young people because it's just so readily available. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we hold up to you our young people and the temptations that they have, the messages that media is giving them about it's okay, a little social drinking's okay. We know, Lord, that these are all snares, and we pray for their protection. We pray for baby Carmen. We pray for the young man who recently was in a car accident, that he will recover fully. We pray for the families that have experienced loss in the civil unrest within our nation. Lord, come quickly. We need you. There's so much suffering going on. And we pray for this show, Lord, that it will be a blessing to those families that have children, those families that are thinking of homeschooling. And every family, truly, Lord, is the most important educator in their children's life. So we pray that our words will be your words, our mind will be connected to yours. And all this I pray in my holy name, amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. So since our devotional was about spiders, I thought we could do something about with spiders. So I've put a couple of things in my Windows on God's World board. I have a couple of climbing spiders. I have a paper spider web. And I want to talk about the paper spider web. You fold the paper and you can integrate it into symmetry. And this time of the year, I always am teaching symmetry at school. So symmetry, you fold it one, two, three, four, three times or six times so that you have a nice symmetrical triangle there, and then you cut out wedges. And when you unfold it, you have a beautiful orbed spider web. You can go to my Pinterest site and see it, MR Gamblin 2, the number 2. And in the board, Windows on God's World, I put it there. So have fun learning. See how you can integrate hands-on learning with all of your other subjects. Curriculum Corner. So all week we've been talking about step one in developing your great homeschool. And we're talking about long-range plans. We've talked about Bible as a pretty easy thing. The Bible can be your textbook. I've suggested that you purchase a ready-made math. Make sure you have the teacher's edition and a workbook and a solutions manual. And Saxon has all of that, but there's others that have it as well. And then now we're talking about all of the subjects that you may choose to teach. So reading, writing, and arithmetic. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. If you focus on those three and have nice long-range plans for those three, you will have covered the basics. And then you can go back and do some themes for social studies and science. Both of those subjects really lend themselves because they're based on content, whereas math, reading, writing, and arithmetic are based on skills, the skills that your child needs to move on to the next level. But science and social studies, content, and kids tend to absorb content. Maybe it's because of the way we teach it. We tend to be more project-driven, and kids love doing projects. Maybe it's because within the content is embedded our own experiences. For example, social studies, for a young child, they're learning about their family, they're learning how to read maps and their community, so they might be drawing a design of their bedroom or how they wish their bedroom was. They might be learning about basic rules and the signs as they drive along of caution and stop. And they learn that as part of what they do in everyday life. So your subjects like Bible, science, social studies, content subjects are pretty easy to develop a long-range plan that covers sort of a theme for a certain amount of time. So those I would recommend not buying a specific text, but that you look at what interests your children. I also recommend that you either do science for a certain amount of weeks and then switch off and do social studies a certain amount of weeks, or that you alternate. I like to alternate because parents like to see on the report cards that their child is getting a science grade and a social studies grade. So Mondays and Wednesdays are science and Tuesdays and Thursdays are social studies, that kind of thing. And you can do that in your long range plans. And so that covers our curriculum corner. This is a really good question. You know, how do you, or when do you talk to your children about your past? And family stories are important. In other words, you should talk to your children about how you met your spouse. How did mom and dad meet? Those love stories really tide us over sometimes in the hard things. You should talk to your children about how you were raised. Maybe you were raised, you know, children should be seen and not heard. And you can talk about some of the trials you had as a child. Maybe your mother or father was very strict and you got spanked with a belt a lot. Or maybe you got restricted a lot. Talk about that. Talk about the pets that you had. Continue those stories over and over again in your family, because it helps create that bond from the past to the present, and it creates a family culture. The story is so important. I have another question here. Here's a question that has to do with homeschooling. How many hours a day should I homeschool my child? Well, traditional schools last about 7 hours, but they include a lot of extra time. They include time traveling between class. They include time for lunch. They include recess time. And then all the extracurricular time might be in there. So it averages out about 7 hours a day. For a homeschooling family, you shouldn't do more than 4 hours a day. And in those 4 hours, you should still have recess, but you should be able to get all core curriculum subjects done in 4 hours. If it takes much longer than that, there's something that you're pushing too hard, because you have a smaller group. You should be able to get to each child within those 4 hours a number of times. You can rotate through, and we'll talk about the rotation maybe at some other curriculum corner discussion. But yes, I would recommend 4 hours a day should be the goal that you strive for. So if you got up at 8 o'clock, 9, 10, 11, 12, break for lunch and have one more class after lunch, or start a little bit earlier in the day and get all of the things done by 12 or 12:30, and then in the afternoon it's free time, it's chore time, it's go out and do something for somebody else time, it's build a fort time, it's explore time, it's technology time. All of those times still may need to be structured in your family, but now you've given your young people some control over their own learning. So that's my advice. Take it for whatever it's worth. We have to go to break. And in the next section, we're going to talk about a better way to get high. And we're interviewing Thomas Young and Rick Swanigson about their experiences as pilots. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome back. I'm here with Adventist World Aviation, and I'm here with Rick Swanigson and Ray Young. Rick is the president of Adventist World Aviation, and Ray Young heads up the Canadian division. And we were just talking about, you know, the overarching or overall program, but we want to get into specifics because young people are interested in flying today. They're also interested in ministry. So let's say, you know, where do they begin? What should they do to make sure that they're prepared to take on this type of a vocation?
Well, I think it starts with that calling, you know. For me personally, it started around the fifth grade. My school teacher started building airplanes with me, model airplanes, then free flight airplanes, and control airplanes. And we had airplane competitions at recess time to see who could build the better plane and outfly the other guy. And that's just kind of when the bug for airplanes and that bit me. And, of course, being in the system and you know, the Adventist system and talking about it, missions is just a natural thing, you know. So all my life, I had always desired to be a mission pilot, and everything I learned, everything I did, all had that little thought in the back of my head, well, this will serve me well as a mission pilot, right? So just flying the airplane is only the small aspect. So, the passion started kind of early for me, and everything that you kind of do as you grow up, you know, I took woodworking, I took welding, I took mechanics, you know, you take all these different things, And there is no carbon copy perfect mission aviation pilot, right? God takes the raw materials of what you bring to the table. The more you bring to that table, obviously, the more he has to work with. And with me, I've just added. So until I got my calling, I just kept adding and adding to my portfolio of skills and talents and abilities I had. And, you know, there was times where I was wondering, was God ever going to, you know, take me and utilize me? But that's kind of the key, is not only with your flight training, is to try to add as many extra things as you can that are interesting to you. Because what you're interested in, you're going to learn that much better. And when you're in the field, you have to be fairly, I hate to say self-reliant, because we are reliant upon God, but you have to have talents that can help you get out of difficult situations with very little resources. So the more things you can learn that will help you in those situations, obviously the more comfortable and better you're going to be serving out in the field.
So we want some stories. You know, it sounds, and it is exciting to go up in the air and to fly, and you've talked about how it's really safe, but yet there was a fear of loss, and that is because, you know, gravity and all of those things that go with it.
And but it'll say, if a man were meant to fly, he'd have wings, right?
That's right. Yeah. But so I would like a story to kind of put a young person into a frame of mind of seeing themselves in that.
Well, that's one of the things that we, of course, we're involved heavily into education. You know, we have Thunderbird Academy also, which is our premier academy for flight training. And, you know, we need our prayers out there, too. We have an aircraft out there that we need to support, and kids were getting up in the air. So, in fact, we have a saying in AWA, we teach kids a better way to get high.
That is, we teach kids a better way to get high.
Yeah. Of course, when somebody gets on the airplane, if they've never flown before, you can kind of tell. They're white knuckling the seats, and they're nervous. And I usually, you know, when I'm flying them, I'll sing a little song as I'm taking off. And, you know, the old song I sing is, you know, the old World War II song. Up we go into the wild blue yonder. Da 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 da. And they're looking at me like, well, you're supposed to be flying a plane. You're not supposed to be having fun. I'm smiling. I'm having a good time. And as we take off, I said, by the way, you know, the worst part of the most dangerous part of the flight is well over with. They said, well, we have just barely taken off. I said, oh, no, it's not the takeoff. And they said, well, what is it then? So I said, it was the drive to the airport. And I said, when we get all done, the second most dangerous part of the flight will be ending when you leave the airport. And they said, well, what's that? I said, that's the drive home from the airport. So those are the two most, those are the most two dangerous portions of flying that there is. You know, Ray was talking about, missionary pilots. Some, you know, most missionary pilots, most pilots, period, are good MacGyver tools. And that's the way like that. You know, that was his statement. I'm robbing that from Ray. But he said that earlier. He was talking to somebody, talking about how not every pilot is a full-on MacGyver tool, but most of them are very qualified in these areas. And our pilots do an awesome work. One of the most recent incidents, this is a really common story. This just happened in Nicaragua here several weeks ago. We had a kid that was bit. He was probably eight years old, bit by a venomous snake. Mm. He was going to die. There was no hope for him. So we got the call. Can you come save this kid's life? Well, which meant that we picked him up, medevac him to the hospital where they give him the anti-venom. And so we couldn't get permission to land at the airport.
Mm.
And so one of our pilots got to do what he calls every pilot's dream. And it is every pilot's dream to be able to, you know, do something right away and save this kid's life. So he says, well, I can't land at the airport. They won't, you know, the military wouldn't give him permission because they're worried about drug running and they weren't sure that they were going to get shot down. And so there was just some real heavy politics that were involved at this mission site. And it was in Central America. And so he got permission to overfly the airport and chuck a package out the window. And the package he was able to chuck out the window was the anti-venom. So he prepared. He was able to throw the anti-venom out the window. As they were taking off, they saw the families there surrounding the package they chucked out the window. And the families took pictures, sent them the pictures of them injecting the kid with the anti-venom. Of course, the child's life was saved. And then we were able to go in there the next day, take him to the hospital and finish up. But we saved that kid's life. And so this is all too common. We're saving lives every day from governors of communities. To children's lives, to geriatric, patients that are having whatever issues they are with heart disease or whatever, we're taking and saving their lives. And 90% of what we do is life-saving stuff in third world countries. We look at it this way. If we do the work that Jesus did, 99% of the work that he did while he was on this earth was saving lives.
Mm-hmm.
And ministering to those that were sick and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
On the back end, they say, well, why would you do this for us? We're able to say, because Jesus loves you. And so that opens the door for us to do Bible studies with them. Now we're working on their eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's important to save our lives, you know, physically on this earth, but spiritually, we're able to save their spiritual lives.
Amen.
For eternity. And that's what we're here for. We save people one at a time, every day.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, Ray, I want you to share a story, too, before we go out. So,
well, it's a story I wasn't involved in, but it was one that really kind of touched me a few years ago. And it was about a tour bus traveling in one of these third world countries. In fact, I think it's very close to where this snake thing
yes.
happened. But this was even before.
Oh, that's in South America. Yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the tour bus is driving down the road. So we all think, oh, we're tourists. We're safe. You know, we're North Americans. We're doing okay. And the driver goes off the road and rolls the bus down the mountainside. And a lot of lives are lost, and a lot of people are banged up. And you're in the middle of nowheres. And this is a muddy, slippery road, no communities nearby, no vehicles or anything. Somebody happened to know about our mission aviation base. So they managed to get word out to the mission aviation base. They came up with their Jeep and started hauling these injured North Americans down to their mission base, loading them on their airplane, and as soon as it was daylight, they were able to get them to the hospital and save their lives.
Wow.
So we aren't just saving lives for people in third world countries, but tourists that could be on holidays and get seriously injured. Most of these people would have for sure died. There's no way they would have survived 24 hours out there in that environment if it wasn't for that.
So we encourage you to go to the website. It's flyawa.org. I looked at it first and thought it was fly away, but it's fly AWA. And for every $365, a life is saved. That's a very small amount of money.
A dollar a day saves a life for every three. It
yes.
costs us about that flight I just told you about, that mm-hmm. snake bite. It was a 360, basically a three. By the time you add all the costs up, it was about $365 to do those flights. So for a dollar a day saves a life with AWA.
And we often spend in North America more than that on
absolutely.
Our pets.
Yep, that's right.
So not that I'm saying for anybody to get rid of their pets.
I understand. I just spent $1,500 on my dog to have a hysterectomy today. She had ovaries that needed to be removed or something. I don't know. So, yeah, we do. So when you compare it to that, you know, our pets are important and lives are important. And human lives are important.
That's
in fact,
right.
we actually get that a lot of times. Oh, you're the people that, because we talk about angel flights. It's, you're the people that do angel flights. So you save lives for dogs and cats. And so, no, we save humans.
Yeah.
We care about our dogs and cats.
Yes.
We save humans. Yeah.
Well, I'm talking with Rick Swaningson, the president of Adventist World Aviation, and I'm talking with Ray Young, who is the Canadian counterpart. We've been discussing the wonderful ministry that our aviation has done for a number of years now, the lives that we have saved. We hope everyone will go to their website. And I just thank both of you gentlemen for spending this time with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. You know, God is for sure the best way to get high. And he's going to take us so high someday. It's going to be fantastic. So I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.